listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book, The Power of Flow, by Charlene Belitz and Meg Lundstrom, Practical Ways to Transform Your Life with Meaningful Coincidence. Last time we were looking at the section Connecting Yourself and Others. This subsection is Various Ways to Count Your Blessings. First way, find the surprise in life. Look around you where you are right now. Look at the same things that you usually see, but with a new eye. Look for the surprise in them. Look at the face of someone you love. See it with wonderment and awe. Pretend that you are a child seeing a prized possession for the first time. Take the gift graciously. Spend a moment being receptive. Then give your appreciation to the giver. Feel the joy that comes from being connected, from the bond of gratefulness. Secondly, consider everything to be a gift. Whatever comes your way, accept it as it is and appreciate it for what it contributes to your life. Say yes and thanks. When you believe that everything has purpose and that you're here to learn lessons, then this attitude is a natural outgrowth. If you aren't sure those are your beliefs, try saying yes and thanks for 3 days and see what happens. Thirdly, count your blessings by considering the alternatives. When we start comparing ourselves to others, usually it's upward. We see a luxurious home, and ours seem suddenly inferior. We see a TV star with a fabulous body, and ours seems flabby. Comparison is the source of all misery, said Nietzsche. But if your mind insists on comparing, how about trying to compare downward? Your house might not be the cover of House Beautiful, but it's wonderfully open and airy compared to your college dorm room. So your legs are a little chubby. Look at how well they get you from point to point. And what if you didn't have them? Fourthly, say thank you in your journal. Keep a running list of what you're thankful for. Be specific. The purple rain clouds, getting new windshield wipers just in time, getting the initiative, hint to take my umbrella even though the skies are sunny, not having to water my garden tonight. Next section, give of yourself. Generosity is giving from the heart. It makes no demands, seeks no favors. It is energizing and fulfilling. And when you are in flow, it is your nature. Generosity is being in rhythm with the greater plan. It is being connected to others in such a way that mine and yours are not part of your way of living. To be in flow is to be generous and sharing the essence of yourself. Alice Manmoser, totally absorbed, leaned intently towards the patient seated opposite her in the tiny office. "I'll bet you have all sorts of energy at night and have trouble going to sleep, but you can't wake up in the morning no matter how hard you try." Her comfortable manner, her complete attention, her kindly face all spoke to Laura, her patient. But what most impressed Laura was how much Alice gave of herself in the next hour. It was as much in Alice's manner as her words. Although she had already been at work 13 hours and had more patients waiting outside, Laura was the most important person in the world to her in that moment. Without hurrying, Alice shared her professional knowledge, gave Laura a nutritional program to turn her health around, and spoke of how she took care of herself so she could take care of others. She reassured Laura's mother, hovering anxiously nearby. "I know how it is. I have children too." And when they were alone, they exchanged warm hugs. Laura felt energized and excited. Her healing of a malady dating from her teenage years was underway. In the ways that are important, Alice was available. After all, she is all she knows and all she gives to others with no holding back. Alice is generosity in action. Being generous is being in a feedback loop with the universe. You get and you give and you get, and what you get is often the opportunity to help others give. Sometimes synchronicities deliver to you precisely what someone else needs. Flow has a ripple effect. When we are deeply in flow, our generosity is effortlessly manifested in another way. The people around us find that their lives too start flowing better. Things fall into place for them. Their timing is perfect, and what they need comes their way. Sometimes we have a conscious hand in this by our generous acts, but much of this dynamic is a casual by our ordinary understanding. Look at your life for the many ways in which you are generous. Think of those dear to you and how you give of yourself to them. Think of the ways you have given to others at your office or store, in your children's school, at your church or your community. Think of the ways you've been available to a friend in need or relatives who's in a crunch. Think of when you've gone out of your way to lift someone's spirit or lend a hand to a neighbor. As you move more into flow, generosity becomes the way you live. You are generosity. Mother Teresa and the Dalai Lama personify this way of being. They live in service to others. The high school teacher who never stops caring, the woman who works at the laundromat and who fills it with welcoming warmth, the pastor or counselor who is always available, they leave you uplifted and energized, feeling better about yourself and life's possibilities. Generosity has many forms. For Stacy Bowden, it's trying to be present with someone as I can be. That's the best way I can give of myself. For Dan Moose, making himself available to others in his job description as a public servant. And because of his high visibility as an African American, I get requests for all kinds of things. He writes many letters of references, helps with job contacts, loans people money, speaks at inner city schools, serves on boards. I got a request last week from a fellow I've gotten to know casually who asked me to co-sign for a rental car agreement using my credit card. I did it. For Janet Landis, it is submerging herself in her calling of rooting out racial antagonism and replacing it with connection. We must be mindful of our motives, though. Sometimes what looks like generosity is actually an attempt to control or manipulation or atonement. The giver is trying to get compliance, even if unconsciously. The person who cannot receive with an open heart, who fends off honest compliments and refuses to accept gifts, themselves cannot give freely, openly, and honestly. Generosity also has many levels. You can give away objects you don't need, but someone else can use, such as packing up your old summer clothes for goodwill. You can give someone something that you value, such as your only copy of an old out-of-print book. Or you can give away what you hold most dear. In a dirt-floored hoogan, an elderly Indian woman took from her foot a well-worn, hand-beaded moccasin and gave it to her visitor with a cherished memento of the time together. Think of your gifts and your level of giving. Even more than objects, the expansion of generosity involves giving more and more of yourself. You share openly. That is because true generosity flows from a sense of unity, of oneness. You do not keep track of what people owe you because there's no difference between you and them. As Ram Dass and Paul Gorman wrote in How Can I Help? We're not so much helping out of because it's me needing to tend to you. We're helping out because it's us. If one of us needs help, if one of our arms get caught in a door, naturally we use the other of our arms to set it free. One way to build generosity is to volunteer regularly at a place where help is needed. A homeless shelter, hospital, senior citizen home, tutoring project. As you share yourself with people in need, you'll find your heart opening. Your fears of unknown others melt away without effort. But beware of giving in with an agenda, of having expectations that because of your work, someone is going to get better. To do so sets you up to judge that person and then to judge yourself, leading to discouragement and eventually burnout. Generosity from the heart asks for no return. As Saithaya Sai Baba, a spiritual teacher in India, says, hands that serve are holier than lips that pray. He suggests providing service to others not with the idea of you helping them out of their misery, but with the idea of furthering your own spiritual growth by removing in yourself the barriers that separate you from others. When you do this, you'll find the roles are flipped. The person you're helping with more material aid is helping you out with something much more important, the experience of your deepest self, which brings you into the power of flow. Flow exercises enhance your generosity. Learning to receive. Sit across from a friend. Be silent for a minute or two. Then have the friend tell you something they appreciate or admire about you. Be receptive. Take it with an empty mind and open heart. Notice where you are uncomfortable and where you want to deny or discount it. Breathe deeply for a moment, visualizing yourself opening your heart to this gift. Sit with it until you can feel yourself fully accepting it. Show your gratitude by non-verbally saying thanks. Then do the same process for your friend. Repeat the process, going to a deeper level of truth. Watch your bond and connection increase. In generosity, as in gratefulness, the separation between giver and receiver disappears. Open your heart with prayer. Praying for others allows your love and generosity to flow and expand. In addition to private prayer, there are public formats in which you can pray for others. They include healing circles, prayer services, novenas, etc. A Buddhist prayer known as metta, loving kindness, is one approach you can do on your own. You simply pray over and over as a kind of mantra. May all things be happy. May all beings be free of suffering. May all beings be healthy. May all beings dwell in peace. As a meditation practice, visualize sending the prayers first to someone you love, and then to someone you feel neutral about, and then to someone you feel challenged by. This type of prayer works particularly well in public spaces. Looking at people in the street, subway, or mall, pray for each one as you pass with such phrases as, "May you be happy. May you be free of suffering." Undertake action to increase your generosity. 1. Access honesty where you are in terms of your own generosity. Are you comfortable with your level of activity? If you died in an hour, would you be happy with how you've served the world? Have you given too much and felt burdened by your own generosity? 2. Make a list of 10 options to express generosity. Offer to drive an extra day in the carpool. Look after a member of a friend's family. Do yard work for a neighbor. These are all generous acts. They can range from quick and undemanding to difficult tasks that require a high degree of self-discipline over a lengthy period of time. 3. Figure out how you would accomplish each option by either talking or writing about it. Weigh each option carefully for its costs and returns. Prioritize each option based on its weight and your available resources. Examine which options are really choices coming from whom you see yourself as being, and which are ones or ideals which will meet another's expectations. 4. Select which options to act on. Be clear about your criteria for success. How long will you continue? How will you know when to finish? How will you be able to measure your success for yourself? Create visualization and affirmation to support your choice. Make a commitment to act on these options and do them 100%. Record in your journal and discuss with your flow partner or family how your choices are progressing. Make any necessary adjustments. 7, acknowledge yourself.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC, but it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We are looking at the book The Power of Flow by Charlene Belitz and Meg Lundstrom, Practical Ways to Transform Your Life with Meaningful Coincidences. 11. Get a point of view from the universe. Technique number 14, divination. The word divination has the same root as the word divine, from the Latin word divinus, meaning God. This is apt because when it's done with care and reverence, divination leads us to closer contact with the divine and with the divinity within ourselves. Divination is a practical technique that we can use to align ourselves with flow. It provides information that helps us understand the deeper dynamics of a situation in our life. By understanding how the underlying currents of the moment are moving, we can make a conscious choice to move with it. And this enhances flow and synchronicity. Carl Jung found divination the key in his thinking about synchronicity. He had striking truths revealed to him by the I Ching, and he saw it as an example of synchronicity in action. It was the coinciding of external events, the throwing of the coins, with an internal event, his question, in a way that was meaningful and that defied cause and effect explanations. He believed that the I Ching and other systems of divination offer a controlled way to tap into the process of meaningful coincidence. For much of human history, people have sought to divine the patterns in their lives from the environment around them. The passage of clouds across the sky, the flight patterns of birds, the falling of leaves, all held personal meanings and information. As societies developed, they devised techniques to present questions to the universe. In Northern Europe, sticks and stones were carved with symbols known as runes and cast on the ground. In Southern Africa, bones and shells were painted or carved and thrown down. In China, turtle shells were tossed into the fires to create crack lines that could be examined for meaning. Many societies had a central place for oracles, people who would enter into altered states of consciousness to predict the future. In classical Greece and Rome, oracles were an integral part of the official decision-making, consulted in peace and particularly in war. In traditional cultures from Siberia to the Pacific Islands, shamans would enter into trance states, commune with magical animals and spirit guides, and return with practical advice. The so-called Western religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, have a history of prophets who foretold and prepared the way for events. Followers of these religions have often found guidance in specific situations by opening their scriptures at random and reading the phrase in front of them. Eastern religions, which stress the interrelationships of all things, continue to place divination prominently among their practices. A major text for Confucianism, the I Ching, is an ancient divination method. In Tibetan Buddhism, for centuries, an oracle has advised on matters of state. In Hinduism, Vedic astrology plays such a central role that a marriage will not be arranged unless the charts of the prospective partners show compatibility. Divination taps into a deeper order. It can help us expand our view of the world and stretch our understanding of what is possible. It can reveal aspects of ourselves or our situation in exciting new ways. It can bring into our conscious awareness truths we already know at a deeper level. If we feel stuck, a divinatory reading can cast light ahead of us and allow us to see the possibility of happiness. If we are facing a major decision, divination can show us the ramifications of our choices from a wider perspective and loosen our attachment to things turning out a certain way. Readings do not always suggest taking the route that we had planned. But if we recognize, lying beneath our dismay, the awe feelings, a sense of rightness, then it's probably the path that ultimately is best for our growth. This is not to say that divination is for everybody, or that it's useful for all times in your life. Some of the flow masters we interviewed for this work have never used it, Why should I consult anything else? I have myself, said one. Some flowmasters used it at a specific crisis point. Some used it on and off. Some use it regularly. It's a matter of personal preference and style. If divination matches your philosophy and feels intuitively right to you, it can be a powerful impetus for growth and expansion. When Stacy Bowden consulted a psychic for the first time, she was so moved by what she learned that she cried for 3 days afterwards. She now has a reading every 6 months. Not because of the information itself, but because the information pushes me and helps me stretch and move in deeper. She has also taught herself the tarot. It's a tool to help me get in touch with my intuition. It feels like the information is right on the edge of my consciousness, and the card pushes it so it's clearly right there in front of me. Where to begin? 1. Decide whether to do it yourself or have it done for you. When you divine on your own, have your direct experience of your connection with the greater whole. You put on your question, the answer comes back. It is up to you to interpret it for your own use. This builds trust and commitment in your own process. Going to another person affords the advantage of another person's point of view and expansive outlook. 2. See what resonates. As you read through the following divination options, some techniques, methods, and systems will click with you and some won't. It's important to follow the inner meanings to select what resonates. 3. Give synchronicity its due. Watch for what comes into your path via meaningful coincidence. If someone brings out an I Ching book on talks about learning to use the runes, consider that information and look for your relationship to it. Your desire to know deeper answers will bring the means to you. 4. Start with silence. By becoming quiet, by going deep within and coming to the point of connection with something beyond yourself, you can use divination to tap into answers that your rational mind can't get to. By putting aside your desire for control, you'd open up the space for deeper wisdom. 5. Pose the question. Before you undertake any divination method, decide what you want to know. Be concise and specific in wording your question. We will continue looking at this very interesting book on flow. I've talked about flow before. It is a vital thing to any professional who wishes to master a topic, to work with flow, work in harmony, work powerfully and efficiently. These are all highly desirable characteristics, and this book describes how one can achieve such a state. So we're going to be covering this in more detail in subsequent shows, so please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the